she's lounging round, too hard to find a pace. Cause you look a bit fine in your white dress, baby. All right. Oh, her skin's so soft, soft to my own face. Oh, I'm sorry, baby, for all the things that I've done. But my pockets are empty. Oh, I'm sorry, baby, for all the things that I've done. But my pockets are empty. She's walking around with a buttercup face. Oh, the lights are dim, floating into space. Cause she's looking pretty fine in a white dress, baby. Oh, right. And her eyes are so soft, softer than my own taste. Cause I'm sorry, baby, for all the things that I've done. But my pockets are empty. Cause I'm sorry, baby, for all the things that I've done. But my pockets are empty.
Welcome to Kickats, Auckland's comprehensive art show, brought to you every Sunday night at Planet FM 104.6 or live streamed at planetaudio.org.nz. That was All Right by Marlon's Dreaming. They're absolutely fantastic. I had the pleasure of seeing them play last night at Neck of the Woods, and I think it might be the only show I've ever seen at Neck of the Woods that I've actually enjoyed, because that venue is not my favourite, but they're awesome. They're one of my faves for sure. To do a good show at a venue that's hard, I think, just go to show what a great band they are. They're playing a bunch over the summer, so definitely go and check them out. Again, their name is Marlon's Dreaming. Before we come into the show and I introduce you to our absolutely fantastic guests, we're just going to play one more song. This is a new one by Jeremy Redmore. He is best known as the singer of Midnight Youth. They released their award-winning album, The Brave Don't Run, 10 years ago, and they just got announced to open for My Chemical Romance next year, which was a moment I actually got tearful. I was that excited. It's going to be a good one. He released an album a few years ago, which was quite successful, but I think that this album is really going to send him on a strong wave out into the world. It's really, the first three songs are really fantastic. So this is my fave of the three that came out on Friday. This is Same Old Routine by Jeremy Redmore. Sorry, it's just starting. Thanks for waiting, everyone. Here we go.
The blinds and turn my head to see. Not a single thing that wasn't meant for you and me. Realizing too late that was our final sleep. Apart from the whiskey bag of weed, I'm gonna stick with the same old routine. Oh, waking with my arms wrapped round the center. How did you sleep? No good. Don't need to consider what's on the dinner menu. Apart from the fact this house I just cannot leave, I'm gonna stick with the same old. Half the dinner's getting cold and making up a bed.
That was Same Old Routine, one of the new ones from Jeremy Redmore. Definitely worth going and giving him a follow on your Spotify or your Facebook or whatever you use to follow artists. And that is part one of a five-part release, of which him releasing the album. I think the whole idea is that's day one, telling the story of a breakup, and then the next one is day 15, so that's going to be released in a couple of weeks. And so on and so forth over, I think, about 6 months or so. So it's a super cool concept, and he's going to be lots of doing cool arts-related things. I've actually been trying to get him into the studio for, I'm going to say, about 2 years now. So I feel like it's about time he finally came in, because he kept saying to me he needs something to talk about. But now I feel like he's got something to talk. There's no excuse, right?
No, not at all.
He has to.
Come on, Jeremy. It's time.
It's been said. Very excited about the guests that we have on tonight. This is Kick-Arts. It's your comprehensive arts show. We have people in every week talking about exciting things that they have going on in the local arts community. We are very lucky. One of our guests tonight, he did a single release show last night. I've heard it went really well, which is very exciting. It was at Cassette Number 9, which is a hard venue to play. Mm-hmm. Welcome, yeah. Max, to the studio. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Thanks for having me. Could you tell us a bit about who you are, what kind of music you're playing, what you're doing in the community?
Yeah, totally. I'm a rock pop artist, so I write and record rock pop music, and I just released my second single called Lonely Love, and yeah, I basically just write and play original music as my main thing.
Very cool.
Yeah.
What has drawn you to want to play music as your main thing?
I'd say I just started very young performing and doing music. So mm-hmm. I'm originally from Christchurch. Mm-hmm. And I started busking on the street when I was about 8 years old. And I basically never stopped. I just, I really love to perform and entertain people. And I love when people connect to lyrics and my music and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's really what keeps me going.
So you've brought a guitar in, so I'm assuming that that's your main instrument, your instrument of choice.
Yes.
Is that what you started playing first? Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you were busking at 8 years old, man, that's so crazy. That's like, would you recommend that for young people who are just starting to play music to go out there and busk in front of people?
Yep. Yeah. I'd absolutely go for it. Well, have your parents there.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's honestly where like I've drawn all of my confidence from, is just from just knowing exactly what I'm doing and being in front of somewhere with like less pressure, and then, but there's a weird pressure actually on the street because when people stop to look, they stop to look, you know. So you've got to kind of try and be confident, but also like be a passerby kind of thing when you're busking.
Yeah.
And then that more developed into me performing more.
I guess it's like the ultimate way to test new material as well, right? Because, you know, like if people stop and look, then you've probably got something
good going
on. It
doesn't matter too much. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you still do busking now?
I don't, but I guess I do that kind of thing more in the form of, I do a bunch of solo gigs and I'm often playing somewhere on a Sunday, Sunday afternoon, where it's background enough, but it's also a performance. So that's where I do my practice and get those miles in.
Cool. Well, I'm very excited to hear these singles.
Yeah,
it's like, I just really love as well when we have people in on the show and they're like right at the beginning of their journey, you know, and then we get to like see them over a time, you know? It's very cool. That was like enthusiastic. And what was that? Sorry, we just had some like enthusiastic hand gestures from other parts of the room.
There were two fists clapping.
Is that a thing that you do?
I just kind of like, I don't know, it just happened.
I tend to clap with my hands, okay. So I don't know.
I didn't want to make noise in front of the microphone, so I was just like, yay.
We could bring it in. I'm like knuckle
does
clapping.
Does it make a noise?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
It's quite good.
It was quite a good
noise.
It's
kind of, it's like, you know when you go to poetry things and they do snapping?
Yes.
But I feel like this is good because it's kind of, you know, it's not as, there's probably people driving listening to this being like, that is so annoying.
Yeah, this is like ASMR now.
Yes,
absolutely.
Oh my God, ASMR is the best.
What is this?
Oh my gosh, what does it even stand for?
I don't actually know, but it's okay,
it's Googling it. Sensory something.
It's a weird internet thing where people
it's when you're
do sounds.
Like stimulated by different noises.
Yeah.
And it makes you, like, some people react to it and some people don't. So yeah. Me, for example, like, it really gets me, like, certain noises make my skin tingle, and then some, like, help me go to sleep, and then other ones, like, whispering into a microphone sounds like razor blades in my ears. Like, it's horrid.
Also, they also record it on a directional mic, so if you're on the right side of the mic,
it'll
you can only hear
go
it
to
on
one
the
side.
Right
side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On the left. You can only hear it from the left side.
Yeah.
So why do people do this?
Some people find it therapeutic and relaxing.
And it, like, and tingles.
Yeah. It can be, like, relaxing, and other people, I don't know.
It's so uncomfortable. I
love certain parts of it, like popping bubble wrap is so good.
So is it kind of along the same lines as, like, you know, when you listen to, like, the raindrop things, recordings online?
I did not do my research to talk about this.
No.
All I know is that I do use it when I'm going to sleep sometimes. Like, it can help me, like, help my brain kind of switch off a little bit, because I've got a busy creative brain. It's always kind of, like, doing things. And the ASMR kind of, like, helps you, like,
chill.
Yeah, I
feel like all three of us can
relate
to busy brains not turning off.
Interesting. Sorry, I didn't actually, I just launched straight into asking you questions. I didn't actually give you a moment to introduce yourselves. Mm-hmm. Very exciting. From Black Cat Productions, we have Ellie and Louie.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
Can you please tell us about your very cool looking show?
Oh. Do you
want to
go, Louie? You go first.
Ooh, okay.
even though I wrote it.
Well, I am the editor, so. Ding. Yeah, Ellie and I are both circus performers, and we have started Black Cat Productions to create shows for the community and for the wider.
So we can tell people. Stories.
Yeah, to tell stories using the physical art of circus.
Okay.
Yeah.
Different skill sets in circus.
What makes it different from normal circus for people who aren't so familiar with what people might expect to see if they went to a circus show as opposed to what it is that you're doing?
I guess you could consider it like contemporary circus. So there's different areas and styles of circus arts that have existed throughout many years, and there's, you know, like traditional style circus where you go into like a big tent and there's a ring and there's a ringmaster and whatnot. The kind of style of circus that we do is a form of storytelling. So it's like a theatre experience of sorts, and we use the circus skills to express and tell that story. So I guess you kind of go in and you're taken on a bit of a journey, and we use the different skill sets within circus arts to kind of explore and express different emotions or different concepts. So it's a little bit different in the sense that you don't just go to the show and see people doing crazy shit. It's just, you know, like, you go in there and you're taken on a full-on ride. So yeah, I hope that explains it.
No, it absolutely does. And you write the shows yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ellie is a creative person. The last time that Ellie wrote a show before this one, which we performed, was Afterworld. I got a phone call saying, hey, I've written a show and I want you to come over and make sure that it makes sense.
Hear me out.
5 hours later, Ellie had finished telling me what the show was.
I had to tell him in great detail, like, every reason why it was amazing.
Were you kind of figuring it out as you were talking as well?
No, Ellie had written this.
I had written it out on, like, a Word document, like, while I was just kind of, like, have crazy eyes on, like, oh my god, the story's amazing, like, wee! And what we were talking about before, I'm like, this is cool, I think it's great, but I think I need an extra pair of eyes on this. And Louie came in and was like, okay.
Right, let's cut this.
Let's refine it
to 2 hours and a 30-minute intermission. let's run it with that.
Let's get it to a point where we can actually, like, tell the story through physical movement. Because we don't use words. Like, we don't have a narrator or
there's no speaking.
Like, there's no speaking.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Do you use a soundtrack?
Yeah. We've got awesome music.
How do you do that? Like, is that something that you do yourselves as well? Create the whole soundtrack to?
Gosh, I wish I could write the music. No, so for me, like, I come from a musical background. Mm-hmm.
predominantly. So music, for me, kind of writes the show. So I'm influenced and I feel very deeply through certain songs, and those songs will spark an emotion and I'm like, man, it's like that makes me remember this time I went through that. And then my brain kind of goes, and then I'm like, oh, that's a little story. And then as I kind of like gather different songs that I'm like, man, this is like gives me all the feels, then it kind of starts kind of like morphing into this monster, and then it kind of just slowly gets bigger and bigger until I've got this like playlist of like 80 songs, and I'm like, Louis, help. Like, I think these are the 10 that I want to use, but I'm not sure. And it's kind of like, that's generally where I start.
Yeah. It always starts off very slow, very bare bones, and
gets very meaty.
Hardly any of the characters have names. We don't have specific performers in mind. We know some of the apparatuses, but not the performers or what they're doing on them.
Because, like, certain songs relate to certain apparatus movements or aesthetics or, like, whatever it is. And so I'll sit there and go, this is definitely an aerial hoop song because it might really suit a spinning, like, movement.
Okay.
Yeah. We could talk for ages about this. I'm going to stop now.
No, but it sounds as though there's a real art to it and a lot of thought goes into it. It's very deliberate the way that you put everything together.
Yeah. It's definitely a very lengthy process.
So at what point do you start bringing other people in? So is this like for quite a while, it's just the two of you planning it out?
If we're talking more about like the process with our most recent, well, our show that's coming up, I went over to the States to go and do my professional circus training. And while I was there, I was just in a completely new place. I was in San Francisco, and so like it was just hubbing and vibrating with all this amazing like people and different like art forms, and just like it just had a really cool vibe that I just was so new to. And so I was all like starry eyed, like, ah, it's so cool. And while I was traveling, I was like by myself. I just started like listening to Spotify radio, just like with songs that I really liked, and then I'd get all these random
Spotify
ones.
Radio is so
it's
cool,
badass.
For people who are listening and don't know what that is, on Spotify you can pick a song that you're listening to and then select an option which is radio, which basically just starts putting on songs that are similar to that as if you were listening to the radio. But I've discovered some really cool stuff that way.
Same. And they kind of just find you, and I'm a firm believer that when a song finds you and it like gets you deep in your core, it's like, ah, this has been delivered to me for a reason.
So absolutely.
I just gathered it. I just like shamelessly made playlist after playlist and just, you know, I kind of forgot what I was talking about. I got really distracted by like just getting so excited about music.
You were talking about your playlisting from the radio
while I was there. So I kind of just went on this massive like journey of going through all these different songs and whatnot, but at the same time I was kind of on my own little buzz of like, you know, just personal healing and, you know, being super, super challenged by going and being trained by like these crazy ass professional circus people, and they kind of like, you know, it humbled me back down to ground level, going, you know, like you don't really know that much about your own art form, and this is a technical skill set. And they kind of, you know, taught me back down, and then, you know, taught me and then built me back up again. So it was a
that can be so good at, when you're ready for it.
Confronting process.
When you're ready for it, it's like, this is so hard, but I love it.
Yeah. Totally. I like went there with my hat in my hands, like, please teach me, like, show me the way. And like through that process, I found the show. Yeah. And it was massive, and I didn't know what I had until I kind of like got back 4 or 5 months later, and then I said to Louis, I was like, hey, it's time again, here we go, got a show to tell you about. And he was like, all right. And then
super cool. How did this like this thing that you're doing together, how did that start?
How did we find each other?
How did you find each other? I was going to say relationship, and then I was like, you know that thing when there's like when you like I've got a business partner, beautiful guy called Liam, and people always just think we're together.
Yeah.
And it's
this is my circus wife.
It's the same as like having a work wife or a creative partner. Sure.
What doesn't help is that Liam and I are really, really good at taking what look like what's it called, like the wedding, the photos you get before you get married, like the
engagement
photos. We're really good at it. Yeah. And so all of our photos, like whenever we're, and because he's a photographer and we want to keep all of our socials like quite like nice looking. So whenever we take photos together, which you try to do quite often when we're doing different things, they start off with us just like doing a funny pose, and then they end up like I'm on his shoulders or he's sitting on my lap.
Strategically
or,
placed hand.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like we look very together all of a sudden. Sorry.
I guess obviously, there's been times where people are like about us, but we're like nah. Like it definitely.
Nope.
It kind of just. Do you want to? You can tell the story. My brain hurts.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, we have been rehearsing all day. So
yeah.
This one is
tired.
In full director mode.
Tired
at the
brain.
Moment. So basically, I discovered circus really, really, really young, and then forgot about it. And then it just so happened that one of my high school friends, during the middle of a conversation, dropped into the conversation. Oh yeah, I do circus. And my eyes lit up like crazy. And they ended up introducing me to Ellie at the beginning. Yeah, that was a mistake. We just got on like a house on fire. It was amazing.
We were both training at the Dust Palace 2014,
yep.
I think.
Yep, 2014.
And we were doing their first scholarship program where we got a year worth of circus training.
You had to apply for it.
And we were both like apeshit about what we were doing, so we're like let's do this thing, and kind of meet each other through that process and just got along really well. And we did the scholarship program show together, and we did create together with amongst the group for that. But we were kind of a little bit like circus mum and dad, because we were amongst the older age group. We had a lot of kids and young teens that were with us and.
Who weren't really paying attention a lot of the time. So
it was still fun.
It was a lot of like, hey, listen.
Yeah, and so that's the process. We kind of just kept on creating together after that. We just kind of fell into it. It wasn't like, hey, do you want to keep doing this? It was like, we're doing this.
Circus, right, there's like lots of different ways that people can engage as practitioners, mm-hmm. as a part of
Absolutely.
Circus. How?
For sure.
What's been your journey with that? Like, is there particular aspects of circus that you connect with more than others, and has it changed over time?
Definitely changed over time.
I think she's talking about apparatus.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Cool.
Sorry.
No. I was just trying to distinguish. I think you mean like the specialty areas.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, totally. Cool. I got this.
I'm a entirely self-taught floor acrobat, so I do flips and tricks and all those sorts of fun things. But but I also do some aerial apparatus every now and then, now again, and I'm training for that.
He was really good on silks.
Yeah.
It was kind of weird but amazing, because he was so long and lanky.
Long and lanky,
and
yeah.
And really strong.
Is that, not, like, is silks more suited to particular body types?
No.
But it is more...
There
are certain apparatus that... It's not common, but there are certain apparatus where I would personally say it's more of a feminine apparatus or a more masculine apparatus. And mm-hmm. you can make them... the opposites,
mm.
But it is hard, and
not impossible.
Anything's possible. Exactly. I found that I really enjoyed silks. It is more of a feminine apparatus, but you can make it look really strong and powerful, and really
it's beautiful.
Beautiful, because you can see like these small women doing. Silks, and they just wrap themselves up and they just straight up into the air, and then you see a really big muscly guy do exactly the same thing, and it's mind blowing.
Mm.
It's great, and I think I fell in love with just the duality of it all completely.
And he also does sea wheel.
Yeah.
What's that?
Think of a giant hollow coin that you've just spun wheel. And you sit inside of it.
You stand in it.
Do you get really dizzy?
Yeah.
I kind of fell in love with silks first, because it's kind of like for us it was like the entry apparatus, so let's do this. And I dug that so hard. I was like, this is mean. And then, I was like, wow, I can do splits in the air. What is this?
I come from a figure skating background, so I did that as a child.
Has that did that lead you quite well into doing circus? Or?
Well, I mean, if I'd kept on doing it right up until I did circus, yes, but I did it as a kid, and then turned 15 and was like, we've got to rock eggs and drink booze. Hang out with boys and smoke cigarettes. yeah, I kind of like went a bit AWOL for a few years and then found circus at 22 and yeah, kind of just like I took aspects of figure skating like body awareness and flexibility and whatnot into it, but mm-hmm. it's no circus kind of like you have to start from the ground up. And so I did silks and then saw a girl doing aerial hoop and was just like, whoa, like that's badass, like it's just like a big steel ring, like and so I tried that out and then figured out that I could, my body kind of responded to it in a really similar way that I did with figure skating, because you're spinning and you're like using your body in these beautiful poses, and that's just like from there I was like hooked, like that's my main specialty. And then I went into hand balance and contortion, so bending my body in weird ways and standing on my hands while I'm doing it, tickling my face with my feet. Yeah. And Georgia's face is great right now.
I can't even nearly touch my toes. So the thought of being able to touch my face with my feet backwards, just like
the first time you see your feet like coming over the top of your head, you're like, wow, that's what the bottom of my feet look like. And I remember thinking that, being like, this is so weird.
Do you ever go like, oh, I need to look at the bottom of my foot, I'm gonna...
No, never. Like, I was like, you don't ever look at the bottom of your foot unless you've got like a splinter in it or something.
Yeah, the other day there was something weird happening with my foot. I don't know if it was a splinter or what it was, but I needed to check it out. And I remember going, I really wish I could get closer to my foot right now.
Yeah, well...
Did you know you could like do that early on? Were you like flexible enough?
I
can do this.
I was a noodle as a kid, like I was really bendy.
Whoa.
And could always do the splits and just do kind of like gross shit. I used to sit, like it's kind of hard to explain without showing you, but like I'd sit in front of the couch and chuck my feet like under the couch and then like sit my body up between my legs and pop my elbows like behind my knees and just kind of like sit up like that, so my feet are like behind my head under the couch, and my mum would just be like, demon child, what are you doing? I'm just like, I don't know. But yeah, I would just do kind of weird shit like that as a kid, and then yeah, I guess it later on in life, like she saw me doing this stuff and was like, oh, that makes sense. So yeah, get paid to do spreadies. That's great.
It's like, it's funny how quite often though, when like people come into the show and they talk about their art, that it did kind of did come forward so early. Like obviously you were playing music from a really young age as well. Do you remember the first time you like picked up a guitar, or like how long have you been singing for?
Ages. Yeah. I think my parents played a lot of music to me while I was being born, so I think that helped a lot.
So did it always feel like just naturally you would take music into your adult life as well?
Yeah.
Could you always sing?
Something
that came naturally to you?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Lucky you, I'm tone deaf, so that works.
Are you actually fully tone deaf?
I can't sing, save myself.
I've heard him try and I didn't say anything at the time.
What is the definition of tone deaf?
I'll Google it, but I think you actually can't. It means you actually can't hear the tone right.
I can't.
So, like,
try.
You couldn't, like, differentiate, like, two different notes.
Maybe between, like, flat and sharp. I
can listen to music and go, right, the beat goes here, and here, and I know what they're trying to do, and I can choreograph an act for it and be like, right, this is where I need to move, this is where you need to be, I know my timings and everything.
Yeah.
Can I do it? No.
The definition is unable to perceive differences of musical pitch accurately.
Good stuff for me.
Twin sister is tone deaf. And it's,
how do you know?
It's become apparent
it's like
recently
because
she got told that at work, she sings a lot of Waiata at work, and somebody told her she was tone deaf. And when she said that to me, I was like, I don't think that sounds right. But we sing a lot in the car, and recently I've been just trying to listen. No, she's definitely tone deaf.
My mom just sounds like a cat getting over it. It's the worst. I'm like, stop it, mom.
Like I can hear, like if I, like I'm not a great singer or anything, but I can hear that if I'm like getting it right or not. Mm. And that, no, she's not getting it right.
Wow.
I love her though. Hey, Des. You're really test your grade.
Don't ever stop singing just because you can't sing. It's
yeah.
No. Yeah. The car is my safe place.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a really good, what's the word? Like message.
Yeah,
for people.
Singing
yeah.
is
never stop.
Just
oh,
like
yeah.
self-expression,
no,
you know?
It's like
you just
singing,
gotta do it.
Singing, even if you can't sing, still feels good. Like,
yeah.
It's great. Like, it's funny that you're tone deaf and yet I've got pitch-perfect hearing. So, yeah. Like, if someone around me sings or, you know, I hear an instrument being played, I can...
Ellie's eye twitches.
Dude, my ears bleed. I'm like, ooh, I hate it. But, like, I still can't sing that well nowadays because I used to as a kid. Like,
yeah.
I was in choirs, I played the piano and guitar and, like, all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, turned 15 and turned doing stuff. and I'm using it totally as an excuse, but I feel like when you go through puberty and your voice changes, if you don't continue to sing through those changes or, like, whatever, then it kind of just disappears, and that's kind of what happened for me. Like, I can hold a tune, but nowhere near as good as I was if I'd kept on vocal training, you know?
It's like anything, right? Like, you just have to work super hard to do anything.
I'm like, I'm too busy trying to, like, put my feet on my head and, like, sit my ass on my head to, like, learn how to sing again. Like, I would love to, though. It's definitely on my, like, bucket list of the world. So.
Well, like, we were talking a little bit earlier about Jeremy Readmore, who we played at the beginning of the show, who not many people know that he wasn't vocally trained, and he would be one of New Zealand's greatest singers.
Yeah,
like, and I absolutely fully mean that. He's a phenomenal singer, but he's not trained. He just works really, really hard at it. I know I recently got to interview him for a web series that I was doing through work, and as a part of that, he was talking about how he keeps himself, like, vocally really fit and on top of, you know, what he's doing musically. And he trains, like, he plays music for an hour every day, and he's just super disciplined about it. But to think of, like, that, like, if he didn't do that, that's like 7 hours a week of, like, that's, like, you can get a lot done in that time if you're doing it, like, seriously. It's amazing. And he, like, just little tips and tricks that he, like, said, like, he will play the same songs but in different genres, so he'll just try to sing it in a different way.
Awesome.
So he'll do, like, now I'm doing it metal, now I'm doing it reggae or whatever. Like, I've actually got on my phone somewhere, like, a reggae version of Golden Love that he played one time, and it was so funny, but it's just, like, good to do.
So satisfying as well. Yeah.
What do you do to, like, keep disciplined and stuff?
Oh,
do you just write, or
it's
like
so hard?
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of just do, like, because I do so many different things musically, like work and professional wise and like in my own way, that I just, like, have enough of it each day.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because, like, I teach a bunch of music as well as play and write and record a bunch of music. So it's like, yeah, it's usually two or three things. Two or three of those a day.
You're constantly stimulated by it as well. So you're constantly learning while you're teaching too, which is great.
Does it ever get to a point where you're just like, oh, I don't really want to do this today?
Not really. Not yet. So that's good.
Hey, we're actually getting pretty far through the show. I definitely want to hear some music, but I also had an idea that I pinned about 20 minutes ago. Ellie, when you mentioned how sometimes songs just find you,
yeah,
I reckon we have enough time in the rest of the show to listen to some music live in studio, listen to one or two of the recordings of Max through the Spotify, but also for each of us to play a song that just found you one day and share the story of it.
100%.
100%.
You're in?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Let's play one of your songs off Spotify, and then we can have a bit of time for you to set up in studio to play a song live in studio as well.
Cool.
And we can also think about what song we're going to play. I have to go and type if someone wants to just talk into their microphone for about 30 seconds.
Would you like us to talk about the show, maybe?
Yeah, please talk about the show.
All right. Well, George is typing away. So Black Cat is doing a production on the 30th of November and the 1st of December at Tapac called Wicked Grounds. And it is a exhilarating tale told through contemporary circus arts. And Louis can fill you in on what that means.
It basically means that we will be making and showing you guys a story through the art of circus, and by creating amazing performances and hopefully hooking you guys into how our brains work and how we put on these amazing, amazing shows for everyone.
And it's about witches and sorcerers and old and new magical deities and supernatural bounty hunters and like all sorts of fun stuff that my brain was like, man, I love it. And yeah, pretty much it's about a character named Ava who unwillingly summons the sorcerer into her realm while she's doing a tarot reading. And then they kind of like have this real like kind of crazy connection, and this love story just kind of explodes, and then his like dark kind of narcissistic like sadistic side starts to come out, and then all the people around her are like, don't do it, and she's like, no, he's really hot, I'm in. And yeah, and so this like show kind of just goes through this like huge journey about like finding yourself and like trusting and like unconditional love and
if you come along
indulgence and, done, yeah. And it's all sorts of fun stuff.
If you come along and we've done our job right, you will come away feeling
like your soul's
so
been
so many things,
like your soul's been like ripped apart and then yeah. sewn back together and like patted, like it's okay.
It sounds great. Like, who doesn't love a really good story? I kind of love story as well. Mm. Love a good love story with yeah. a good soundtrack, and also seeing something that's really interesting and different. Yeah. With, like,
I'm not even going to sugarcoat the fact that the music is amazing.
Yeah, like, no, it's great. It's great. Every like, song that Ali showed me, I was like, yep.
It's very eclectic because my music taste is, as I said, eclectic. Like, I draw from so many different genres because, like, and I always feel like if I don't listen to lots of different music, then I'm going to miss out. So I'm like, what if that one song sparks off like the best show of my career? Like, yeah. And then I made Wicked Grounds.
Exactly.
I just think it's so cool how you do everything, like the two of you as well, like how it just starts from that.
Well, it's nice to have a person who has a similar kind of flavor of creative brain, so I can go to him and say, hey, like, this is what my brain sees when I hear this music. So Louis was actually the person who brought to my attention that I have synesthesia, which is where I hear music and I see color. And so the color kind of like, it sounds kind of nutty, but it kind of like comes to life and they have their own kind of like movement quality. So I kind of then translate the color and the movement quality that I see in my brain into the physical movement.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where like we, you know, we're technically trained circus performers, but we also have this kind of like way of moving that moves you, if that makes sense, because mm-hmm. we're able to like effectively communicate like our emotional state or like what we're trying to get across because it kind of gets it right in the field. So
yeah. It just sounds as though your show is so deep, there's so many layers to it and everything has been so thought out and deliberate.
Along and you'll see more.
Yeah, it's very personal, but at the same time, like, it's one of those things that just needs to be seen. It needs to get out of my body and out of my brain. So yeah.
Max, what song is it? Alright for us to play Lonely Love?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, so this is the song that came out on Friday.
Yeah,
is that right?
That's the really one
exciting.
Yeah.
This is great. This is Lonely Love by Max Earnshaw. Let's do it.
When you tell me that we're okay, it's the same every night I come to stay, keeping your demons all at bay. Oh, I felt the change. We light the fire without a flame. I'm burning up cause I don't know to blame. Now that we're losing the same game, what are you running from? All night you only love me in the dark. Only love me in the dark. That I hold you feels empty. Why can't I help but feel guilty? And you still long for love, but all that's left is lonely lust. I don't even know who you really trust. Will I ever be enough? What are you running from? All night you only love me in the dark. Only love me in the dark. What are you looking for?
left me in the dark.
What are you looking for? You want the man that I was before. The man that I was before. I know you're lonely, lonely, lonely. I know you're lonely, lonely. I know you're lonely, lonely. You only ever loved me in the dark.
Oh my god, nice.
Nice callback.
Dude, that song is so good.
Yeah, thank you so much.
There's nothing that beats like good rock music.
Oh,
you know,
absolutely.
Good pop, like yeah, Paramore or something. Like they will be, people will love them forever.
They're good, so good. Cool.
You're amazing. Could you tell us a bit about the song? How you wrote it, the process behind it?
Yeah, the song's called Lonely Love, and I kind of just pick up when I write. It was pretty typical of my kind of writing. I basically pick up a guitar and see what kind of chords inspire me, and this one really called out that kind of hook, and that pre-chorus really called out to me. I think the first part that I came up with was the "What are you running from all night? You only love me in the dark." And I was just like, "Ugh," when I wrote that lyric. So I was like, yeah, it's got to be around that somehow. And then, yeah, so I write generally on my acoustic. So it kind of turns out into a picky, you know, singer-songwriter type of song. And then I delve into my laptop where Logic Pro X lives, which is the software where you can make any sounds you want. And I've been playing a bit of drums and bass for a while. I do a lot of drumming, actually, for a few bands. And that really helps with writing all the parts and my arrangements and my process. And, that's the main thing for that one.
Whereabouts did you record that song?
I recorded that one at Parachute Studios?
Yeah, their new studio there. What did you think?
So nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually won a Facebook competition. I got a free day in the studio.
Nice.
They put one up and they're like, yeah, I put up my first single there and they were like, yo, we'll be keen to have you in for the whole day. And we basically smashed it out in 10 hours, all the parts. Because there's drums, bass, layers of guitar, layers of vocals, organ, all in there.
Organ in there.
Yeah, there's some
awesome
organ there, some cheeky organ. I think we were like one of the first people to cheek organ is the best kind of instrument. We were some of the first people to record in it. It's a Hammond that they have there in a Leslie speaker, which is beautiful. But I highly recommend Parachute to anyone who's looking to record or get anywhere, because they were so cool, man. Yeah, such nice people.
They're so well set up.
Yeah, and they were so, yeah. The producer I worked with, engineer guy, he was so on it.
Who was that?
Daniel Martin.
Yeah, shout out to Daniel Martin.
Yeah, yeah, he's the main producer guy there. But yeah.
Cool. After hearing the song recorded, it would be awesome if you were willing to play your other single, your first single, acoustic.
Yeah, sure.
Let's do it. Could you tell us a bit about this song?
Yeah, this one is called Temporarily, and I wrote this about 2 years ago, and I just really knew it was the one, because I'd just been writing, and then we hit this song. I co-wrote it with my guitarist, and we were just like, yep, this is it. And it's about the greed in people. It's about the need for material things, even though they don't last. Yeah.
Nice, very relatable.
Is this one coming through?
There's a shiver in your heart that's been tearing you apart, but you can't see it. You can't see it at all. You've been blinded by your past. You're obsessed, but it won't last. Does that bother you? Does that bother you at all? You can't have it all. Anything you want, anything you need, you can have it all. temporarily. There's avarice in your veins, and you're selfish in your ways. Can you see that? Can you see that at all? Can't have it all, anything you want, anything you need. You can't have it all temporarily. Anything you want, anything you need. Oh, you can have it all, yeah. You can have it all, anything you want, anything you need. You can have it all, take it for yourself. And keep it for yourself. You can have it all temporarily.
Whoa. Dude, so good.
Oh my god, wait, knuckle claps.
ASMR.
That's so beautiful.
Thank
like,
you so much.
That the main lyric, you can have it all temporarily, like, that's so beautiful, that's so relatable, like... Just that frustration that you feel like with people sometimes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And your little like time signature change.
Ah.
On the guitar. Oh my god, so satisfying.
Thank you.
Yeah. I dug that. I was like, oh, get it.
Sweet. Yeah.
That was great.
That one drops pretty hard with a band as well in the background.
I was about to ask you, like, is it?
But that is how I wrote it.
Is it like
so.
A sick drop? Like,
yeah. Quarter time drop way. Is what we call it.
Yes. Oh, good time. See, those moments make me want to move.
So how does it feel to have your first two singles out?
Amazing. Yeah, so I've been wanting to release for a long time, but I just I really wanted the right stuff, and I really wanted to have the right time to do it and the right way and to make the most out of it.
Yeah.
Because I'm from Christchurch, but I moved up for an artist development course here at Auckland Uni, which I did 3 years off, so I graduated at the end of last year. Yeah, so I've had a year just freelancing in music, which has been amazing. But yeah, I had the right, I knew I had the right songs and the right time to do it. So, although Lonely Love was real recent, I wrote that. Like, I finished it like a week before the studio, which was kind of crazy.
Did you have another song that you were planning to take into the studio, or did you just have the studio time booked? Or
yeah, I won the competition, and then I was like, well, what am I going to do? Because I've been gigging a lot this year, Wine Cellar and Whammy and those kind of places, and with a bunch of acts, cassette, and it was a choice of what to bring in, and I had this new song I was working on, Lonely Love, and I'm like, you know what, I've got to really finish this arrangement, because I had the song written, but I was like, I'm really gonna make this arrangement real special. And it worked out.
And what's next for you? What can people look forward to?
Yeah, so I'll basically be back like next year. Next year's gonna be like full on with releasing, now that I really know how to do it.
Good.
Which is lucky.
Yeah, go.
But this summer is more writing time for me.
Nice.
I haven't had a chance to write over the last month or so, which is not very long, but for me it's ages. Because I write all the time.
You need an artist holiday.
Yeah.
An artist date.
Yes,
like,
I do.
Just like immerse in your music and in your creativity. Mm. Just explore every little corner of it and then just emerge. Like, yeah.
That is the one.
Yeah.
You've got to have the balance, eh? Because the last 2 months I've just been my own publicist and...
Yeah. Oh my God.
And promoter. Which everyone in this room can relate to.
It's hard work.
It's a lot of work and it drains yourself of the creativity. Because,
But
luckily, I haven't got sick of either of those songs, so That's great.
That's good.
Even though I've listened to them and marketed them a million times.
Is it like Keith Richards who said that, like, you never really get sick of your own songs because you're always on a journey with them?
Yeah.
That's very nice.
I don't know. I don't know. Have you seen that meme that's like, every cigarette you smoke takes a minute away from your life and adds it onto Keith Richards' life?
That's just would what not I be surprised if that's one of the seconds of the universe.
Yeah.
Just FYI.
That's just what I think about whenever I think about him. It's so funny. Wow. It's just like this hilarious meme, and it's just a photo of him, but he's looking like pretty buff, and he's just like taking a drag from a cigarette, and he just like looks totally fine. It's just like,
he'll never die.
Yeah. Where is the best place for people to follow you to follow when your music's coming out?
Oh, yes. Facebook and Instagram is where I do all the things. I have a YouTube as well and a website, which is just maxearnshawmusic.com.
Cool.
Which has got links to everything. But yeah, Max Earnshaw Music. So EARNSHAW.
We followed
on Facebook and Instagram. Thank you very much.
And we like.
I will follow you back.
Yay!
On that note, as well, before I'm about to ask you the stories of the songs that found you. Okay. You can just pick anyone.
I'm so excited. Yeah. What if mine are like really down buzz though?
It's totally fine.
Mine is 100% down buzz.
Are you going to show that one you showed me the other day? The real epic one.
No, why not?
But this is good to, you know, we get to hear the story and everything. But before that, if people have their phones out and they're wanting to follow you and know where they can find the information.
The circus?
Yeah.
Okay.
The circus? The one circus.
Black Cat Prods is at Black Cat Prods is our Instagram, and our Facebook is Black Cat Productions NZ. And then, yeah, if you have a look through our Instagram, you can check out our artists like individually through their Instagrams as well, and then you'll actually see the circus.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and tickets for the show you can purchase through TAPAC's website, so it's tapac.org.nz. What's on Wicked Grounds, I think so. What it is. Yeah, the Saturday show is sold out, so Sunday is still available.
That's so exciting.
Yeah, I still get super surprised about it. I'm like, really? Oh, cool, great. We have to do it now.
Yeah, Ellie's like, oh, maybe we should push the show. And I'm like, Saturday sold out, Ellie. Come on.
I'm scared.
That's fair.
That is super exciting.
Yeah.
That is such a buzz. Like, just anything in the Auckland art scene that sells out, I'm just in awe of. Just super, a tremendous amount of work and buzz needs to go
super
into that.
Super grateful though, because like, we, as you said about being like your own publicist and, you know, everything, oh man, like by the time all these shows are over, I literally sit there and be like, how did I do that? And it's because I have, like, I created Black Cat so that it was, you know, a hub of people who all were on the same journey and on the same buzz, and we just like hardcore have each other's backs and help each other out. So we're missing Krista tonight, which is sad. She's the other director of Black Cat. She's our bendy baby. Yeah, like ass on head contortionist. She's crazy awesome. Yeah. So hey Krista.
Hello.
We miss you. That's us. So, come see the show
on Sunday, not
Saturday.
There are like
Where is it?
TAPAC. The Performing Arts Centre, 100 Motions Road, Western Springs.
Cool.
Louis, are you ready with your song?
Oh
my God, you're going first? Oh, I need to look through my playlist really quick. Okay.
I'm ready with the Spotify.
So, it is by an artist called Eden. And it is off his End Credits EP.
Okay.
The song, that one. And the song is Wake Up.
Okay, and what's the story of the song?
Now, the story of the song was I was trying to put an act together because it was my first ever solo act that I ever performed with no directors or anything. I was like, I want to put an act together by myself. And I went overseas to see a person who was very important to me at the time, and I just couldn't figure it out, and I spent the whole trip like trying to figure out how I could do this or what music to use, and I just hit it blank. And it was actually on the flight home that this EP just popped up in my Discover Weekly. It was like the second week Discover Weekly had actually come onto Spotify. And it popped up in my Discover Weekly, and I was like, I'll have a listen to it. So I listened to it, and the song Wake Up is literally about I'm going to be successful one day, and being so far away from you is painful and it hurts me, but I'm going to be successful, and one day I'll fly you out to me, and we can, you can come see, and we can be together. But yeah, long story short, didn't so work out so well, but I got a fucking awesome routine out of it. I can't.
So did you perform to this song?
Yeah.
This song really did find you.
This is the first song that I ever made for myself. And I found the song and I was so inspired that I actually scrapped everything that I'd like worked on, got back 2 days before the show, made the routine in 2 days and performed it.
What show was that?
This was for the first Shit on Paper ever. This is
was
my
that
silk
your
act.
Disc? Your
No, this
your
is
disc
my
one?
Silks Act. The
oh,
first one ever.
This was great.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, this is great. Yeah. We should post that video on our Instagram.
Yeah.
No? Yeah, that's great.
All right, here's a song. This is Wake Up by Eden.
Remember how we got here, or how we survived so long, trying to run from a prior till you step out of my atmosphere. And I remember how I spent a 23rd feeling 6 feet under when I'm 30,000 feet in the air. Chasing that sundown so far east on westbound, feeling like the edge of this world is near. But you'll feel better when you wake up. Swear to God I'll make up everything and more when I get back someday. This is more than just a phase. Love, shooting stars will break up. And even though it seems like half the world away, things will be better in America. Heard the streets are gold there. Maybe I can fly you at this place someday. I'm chasing dreams like I'm a Novocaine, screaming through your airwaves. Looking back, I almost thought I heard you say, stay, you're not gonna leave me. This place is right where you need to be. And why your words gotta mean so much to them, and they stay, you're not what you're hearing. Cause I've been watching you changing. And who said you're one in a million? Anyway, cause you see only what you want to. Your tunnel vision owns you. And you can't see what's wrong when you keep sleeping through the PM. Eyes wide open when you're dreaming. You're sleepwalking, just keep talking. Maybe you can talk your way out of this deep end. They'll be playing your system. Just tell me what you're thinking. I'm scared that you might fall, yeah. But you're not. But you're not. And you feel better when you wake up, taking off your makeup. Sun always seems to wash our fears away, and it's always shining somewhere. I just gotta get there. And even though it seems like half the world away, things are better in America. I heard the streets are gold there. Maybe I can fly you at this place someday. Chasing dreams like I'm an Novocaine, screaming through your airwaves. Looking back, I almost thought I heard you say, stay, you're not gonna leave me. This place is right where you need to be. And why your words gotta mean so much to them, when they mean nothing to me. So stay.
So that was Louis' song. Yeah. It was the song that found him.
Yeah, yeah. That was a very interesting
song. I could... Matt was saying, I can absolutely agree. It's that song was just... It seems like it was written for some kind of circus routine.
It was weird because I was coming back from this whole, like, huge two-week holiday from this long-distance relationship, and this song, it's just, like, hit me like a ton of bricks, and it was like, oh, I didn't know what to do with it. So I actually started my routine lying on the ground with a pillow under my head and reaching over, and I just had a pillow beside me with no one there. I just reached over and just grabbed the floor and just... That's how I started the routine. Like, I straight into the feels for everyone around me.
That sounds quite therapeutic as well.
It was so helpful. But also it was so painful to actually do the routine, because it was just... I had to, like, hold back all of the emotion that I had, because, like, I was just... I was on the verge of just, like, tears and just not being able to finish the act, but I was, like, so entranced by the music and everything that was happening. I just needed to...
Yeah.
Let it out.
I remember once going on tour with a band who one of the members of the band I just had the mega, mega feels for, and he has this, just, he writes the most incredible love songs, and all these songs about girls that he was into that it never quite worked out, and it was just like so ironic. But I remember every night watching them and being like, this is what music is about, and it being so therapeutic watching him sing these songs. It was like, that's exactly how I feel about you.
Yeah.
But it was like, it was so moving, and it kept me wanting to do it and gave me energy. And it's like, I don't know, there's something kind of so beautiful about that, when you're like just having these moments like with art that is just like, was it life imitating art kind of thing?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's such a... It's one of the biggest escapes, for me at least, because I've, you know, come from an all-boys school. And so, you know, big manly men who play rugby, and they're just like, nope, no emotion. So coming out of that into this and being able to put my emotion on stage and having an entire group of people afterwards, like an entire room full of people just clapping and just... in awe of what I put on stage was probably one of the best memories of my performance, definitely. Yeah.
I have so many feels listening to you talk about that.
That's beautiful.
Good.
Ellie, have you picked your song?
I want to know what Max's one is first. Is yours like more upbeat or like...
Yeah.
Maybe because...
You want us to jump to Max first?
I
just assumed.
Wait, let's end it.
Like, what's the tempo?
Do we strike you as being, like, real, like, broody?
No, I just, like...
Because we are, like, it's
yeah, cool. 100%.
I'll jump in with mine then. Do I tell you, like, the background of the...
Please do, but if you could tell me the song first so I can find it, please.
So the song is called So Close.
Okay.
And I don't know how to pronounce the dude's name, to be honest. It's okay. Olafur. Louis. Olafur.
Yep, I've got it.
Arnold and then Arnodan. So it's apparently it's from Broadchurch. Still don't know what that is, and everyone gets really upset with me.
It's a TV show.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
I know. Okay. I haven't seen it yet. But
so how did the song find you?
Okay, so I'm going to try and condense this really intense like story into like a few words. So through this process of getting Wicked Grounds out of my head and into the world, the show... it effectively like kind of highlights this really intense like artistic relationship that I had with someone, and at the time we mistook being a muse relationship for being more than it was, and it's, you know, like a supernova, it's over, it's went over before it began. So been going through a bit of a time like emotionally with it, and I started getting really creatively blocked as well, which is really unfortunate when you've got a freaking theatre show that you're trying to write and you're trying to like help everybody else kind of like, you know, extract their artist out of them, because I'm like, I know how to do it, I'll help you, but in the process I kind of just blocked off my own creativity, and I was like, well shit, like what am I going to do, oh man. And I have this book that's called The Artist Way by Julia Cameron, and it effectively, it is like an artistic like extraction process where like you go through all these different exercises, and she writes about these different concepts of like your inner child being like needing to be healed, because that's where your magic exists. It's where, you know, the side of you that has your imagination, where you make believe and you believe in, you know, things that don't exist and right or whatever. Mm-hmm. So through this process, like, I always know something's wrong with my artist's voice or my artist itself when I stop getting the music tingles, you know, when I, like, my synesthesia goes away or it mutes a little bit. And so I started noticing that this was happening. I was having no joy out of music, and I was like, oh, I'm so screwed, like, this is the worst. So in desperation, I picked up this book and started the process and was like, okay. And then 2 weeks in, nothing. 4 weeks in, I'm writing my morning pages, and morning pages is a journaling process where every morning you write for 10 minutes or you write 3 pages of just whatever gobbledygook comes out of your brain. And it's kind of cool because it starts highlighting, like, hidden dreams and, like, you know, artistic desires or bucket lists that you didn't even know you had. And the song, it's so eerie, and it's like you can't tell if it's sad or like what it's trying to pull from you. But it just, like, I was writing my pages and then suddenly it's like, the, you know, you got the cheeky time signature change and whatnot. I love songs that have got like cheeky bass lines that you can kind of just hear under the layers, and then this one's got like a cheeky, what I'm assuming is a cello, and it just like comes in and then it just stops and you're like, why did you stop playing that note? It was amazing. And it kind of just like, it hit me, and then suddenly like I got goosebumps and I was like, oh my god, the artist's way is working. Like, I am an artist recovery and my recovery is working. I'm so pleased. Oh. And so I sat there and like finished my pages listening to the song, and then I just had it on repeat for the whole day, and I just crafted this, like, I called my playlist Recovery because it's the first step after Wicked Grounds, which is like, it's going to be, you know, I don't even know what it's going to be like for me, but the song is what my next step is. So yeah, and I made a whole hope routine to it, and yeah.
Whew. This is so exciting. Okay.
So many feels. I'm so scared.
Now let's just get into it. This is great. I'm excited.
Thank you.
was Ali's song that found her, So Close, by an act who I can't say. I'm not going to try to say that.
I don't even know how to pronounce his name either. It's like Olafur.
Yeah, looks something like that, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was great. Yeah. It's a great song. I can so picture that moment of just, like, riding, and then you're like, what is this?
Yeah. It just caught me off guard, because it was just on Spotify radio, because I listen to, like, classical piano music while I write sometimes, and that one just kind of just, like, snaked its way in there and was like, yo, it's like, this is mean. Yeah.
Cool.
Max, your song that you've picked.
Yeah.
It's a very well-known song, Best Friend, by Rex Orange County.
That's the one.
The moment that song found you?
Yeah, someone introduced it to me, but I played a show, and then someone came to me, and they're like, yo, you should listen to this person. I was like, yeah, all right. I'll get around to it. And then I got around to this song, and I was just like, whoa. Because I've had a very, very privileged life, like I've always had things come my way and always had like an amazing support system. Not that that's a bad thing, but like
that's great.
I just haven't been exposed to as many like emotions or like, you know, like really reflecting me in a song. I write more about situations because I think that's there, but like I don't quite have that yet.
The
life experience. And like I always knew about like, you know, love songs and real situations and stuff. But when I heard this one, it has that, like, dichotomy of that, like, best friend, which is quite a positive thing, but that's, like, all it's going to be, you know, they're going to be the best friend. And I didn't really realize how real about, like, situations songs could be and how much they could catch you. When I heard the song, I was like, damn, I could picture that. And it was around the time I started, you know, really feeling for someone in particular. And so all of that kind of hit me at once. And this was actually one of the ideas I had floating in my mind while I wrote Lonely Love. I was like, how can I picture, because I had this thing in my head and I had that lyric that Only Love Me in the Dark thing. And I was like, I just need to see this song and then really map it out. And this is one of the things that helped me.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Let's get into it. And then we're going to do some shameless promotion. We'll be back in a second.
Alone. Can't help but check my phone. I could have made you mine, but no, it wasn't meant to be. And see, I wasn't made for you, and you weren't made for me. Though it seems so easy, and that's because I wanna be your favorite boy. I wanna be the one that makes your day, the one you think about as you lie awake. I can't wait to be your number one. I'll be your biggest fan and you'll be mine, but I still wanna break your heart and make you cry. But won't you wait? You know it's too late. I'm on my own shit now. Let me tell you how it feels to be fucking great. I feel great. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You need to be yourself. Love someone for loving you instead of someone really cool that makes your heart melt. Who knows what you truly felt? You're still my favorite girl. You better trust me when I tell you there ain't no one else more beautiful in this damn world. In this damn world. You're gonna wanna be my best friend, baby. You're gonna wanna be my best friend. Friend.
Was Best Friend by Rex Orange County. That was the song that found Max.
Mm-hmm.
That was cool. That was hey, that was a fun game. I might bring the songs that found you into the studio more often.
New segment.
Yeah.
New segment.
Woohoo!
Always looking for a new
segment.
And also
knuckle clapping.
And also the knuckle clapping.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was good. Oh, we also talked about at the beginning, just briefly, I told you about how I'm trying to bring the Rock On sign back. It's pretty cool. So just anyone who's listening, the Rock On sign, it's coming back, yeah.
The horns?
Yeah.
Oh, dude. When did that go out of fashion?
I use that all the time.
Yeah.
Damn it. Wait. Let me reframe that.
Into the mainstream.
That's great news.
Yeah.
That's great news.
Let's just remind everyone and just refresh.
There's a good emoji for it. If you guys
post on social media. And also the good old Shaka Bra.
Yeah.
We have come to the part of the show that is shameless promotion. Our wonderful guests, if you could just let us know the details of what you've been talking about tonight.
Whoops, we've already done that.
Yeah, but, you know, for new people.
Oh, great. Hello, everybody. Max, you should go first, because we've talked so much about us, and I'm curious by you. So
oh, okay.
Go for it.
Well, I'm Max, and I'm a
Hi,
rock singer-songwriter artist, and I just released my latest single, Lonely Love, my second single, on Friday. We just played a show at Cassette 9 last night, which was brilliant. And you can find me, you can primarily find my music on Spotify. So my name is Max Earnshaw, E-A-R-N-S-H-A-W. And there you'll find Lonely Love, my latest single, temporarily my debut single. And there's a live session of another song I wrote called Tragedy.
Awesome.
Which is another big, angry, relationship broken song.
Nice.
Which has all the feels, and it's live in one take, which is really fun.
Nice.
With my band. And then social media is the best thing for me, so Facebook and Instagram. I'm Max Earnshaw Music, and I'm everywhere else there as well.
Awesome. So people can follow you the rest of your journey.
Yes.
And please do come back when you're releasing your new stuff, or, you know, if you want to test it while you're writing it over the summer, please come in.
I would love to. Thank you for having
me. We're looking forward to an album.
Yeah.
Whoop, whoop.
Black Cat Productions. Can you please tell us about your show coming up?
Go for it, Ellie.
Yay! We have got our show, our big theatre show, called Wicked Grounds. I never told you why or where I got the name Wicked Grounds from, which I will in a moment. You can find tickets to this beautiful immersive theatre, circus theatre show at tapac.org.nz/whatson. Wicked Grounds. Saturday show is currently, the GA is sold out, but we do have pretty badass little VIP packages which you can buy, which means you get to be right in and amongst the action. Be super up close to us. So yes, and you can check out Black Cat Productions on Facebook and Instagram. Black Cat Prods is the Instagram name, and I totally felt like Black Cat Prods was a hilarious name because it sounds kind of dirty, but you don't think it's dirty, yeah, it but it is. I was always like, hee hee, that's funny. On Facebook, we are Black Cat Productions NZ. So I really want to tell you where we got Wicked Grounds from, because it's kind of hilarious.
Cool, cool. We have about 1 minute left before we get cut off.
Okay. Coffee shop in San Francisco is called Wicked Grounds, and I walked in there being like, oh, I want a coffee, and walked in there and was like, holy shit, this is a sex shop. Is it actually a coffee shop? And it turns out that it was both. And it inspired me. So I called the show Wicked Grounds, because I suddenly was like, oh, I've got Wicked Grounds. Not necessarily that I'm a coffee shop and a sex shop, but like it kind of sparked this whole like idea of what are Wicked Grounds to me and what are my Wicked Grounds. And that's where the show name came from.
That's legit a really good story.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
So fast as well.
I was like, oh, okay, I have a minute. So, yeah, that's where it's coming.
That was really fast. Yeah. Also, sorry, you actually had a little bit longer than a minute, but I'm not really good with getting the timing right on this. So, sorry, I made you talk so quick.
Oh, man. That's I hope fine. You guys caught all that.
Yeah. Next time we'll go really in depth. Okay. Really?
What half the show about the on next the name. Show? Yeah. Talking about having a break. That
break down
happen.
The word wicked and then the word grounds.
Yeah. What does that mean to
what
you,
does that
though?
Mean?
What are your wicked grounds?
God, creatives are so
what
pretentious.
What does that mean to you?
Same thing, though, when you guys come back with your next show.
Yeah.
There's can't after. Wait to hear about it.
There's going
to
be another one. We'll come back and tell you how this one went.
Sorry, I'm just. I felt left out. I wanted to do my song that found
me
too.
Yeah, where's
do
your it. Song?
Yes.
Well, this is just, it's a song called Where You're At by Alan Stone, and it was the day that I decided to change career, and it's about not needing to know everything and just loving, it's the main line of it is, just love where you're at. It's like, just love where you're at, just go with the journey, you don't need to know everything all the time.
Sick.
It's good. Wing it. Really found it very helpful in the arts community, because at no point do you really know what you're doing at all.
Absolutely.
We
not.
Never know what we're doing.
Totally.
We
just
hope make it up as you go along.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the podcast for the show will be available 5 minutes after the show, which is in about 6 minutes. Less than 6 minutes. So send it to people who would like to listen to it. I thought it was a pretty good show. I really enjoyed myself. Thank you so much, everyone, for coming in. Yeah, I might send it to my mum, too. Sometimes she listens. Last time she listened, though, I was talking about something real kinky. It was in context, and then she brought it up with me later, and I felt uncomfortable. And that's my whole story. If you have something that you want to come into the show and talk to us about, send us an email on kickutswine@gmail.com. Remember to give us a like on Facebook. It's just Kickuts, and mainly remember to go out there this week and kick some arts. Have a lovely week, everyone. We'll see you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.